what you got on me.
That was Slow Down Fast by Canadian superstar Bruce Cockburn. Now let's plow into some news, and we'll start with some good stuff. Back in January, I did a feature asking whether there would be snow for the Winter Olympics and a future for snow sports in general as the climate heats up. You can download that from our website. It turns out the big ski companies like Aspen and the Blackcomb Whistler people are very aware of climate change. They are taking concrete actions to reduce their own carbon emissions, and they warn guests about the threat of global warming. In early March, Aspen Ski Company took another step. They kicked Kleenex off the mountains. All Kimberly-Clark products were removed from their facilities because this paper company continues to clear-cut Canada's boreal forest. Aspen even renamed a run to remove the Kleenex name. Greenpeace has been campaigning to end the wanton destruction of Canada's northern forests. As Richard Brooks says, stretching from Newfoundland to the Yukon, Canada's boreal forest comprises one quarter of the world's remaining intact ancient forests. As the world's largest land-based storehouse of carbon, the boreal forest is essential in fighting global warming. In April, shareholders of Kimberly-Clark will vote on a stockholder resolution urging the company to embrace sustainable forestry practices and the use of recycled fiber. Well, here's another big solution to climate change. MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, has released an important study on geothermal energy. With more research, humans can get energy from an inexhaustible source, the heat deep within the Earth. It is already being done in several places. I know you have heard of the steam energy and heating in places like Iceland, where hot water is near or at the surface. But now deep drilling techniques developed for the oil industry can get heat out of the earth almost anywhere. Let's see, should Exxon spend their $40 billion profits on finding more oil wells so we can wreck the climate beyond repair? Or should they be developing enhanced geothermal energy? To find out more, Google the future of geothermal energy and MIT. Moving briefly to another topic, I was astounded to learn that America has over 60,000 sick atomic workers. These are people who worked on the atomic weapons labs and the factories that churned out mega weapons of death. Over 16,000 nuclear workers are already pensioned off as disabled, costing more than $2.6 billion. Meanwhile, the Rocky Mountain News, close to Rocky Flats, the most toxic weapons plant in North America, reports that, quote, federal officials secretly schemed to limit payouts for sick and dying nuclear workers, end quote. Bureaucrats hoping to slash budgets went straight to the White House to develop schemes to avoid paying for the radiation sickness and toxic poisoning workers received. That plot fell flat once it was exposed. The U.S. Department of Energy has spent $65 billion, so far, trying to clean up 84 weapon sites, and payouts to sick workers could reach more than $7 billion. And believe me, they haven't touched the Hanford weapon site that still could blow up some bad stuff towards British Columbia. I guess those jobs making weapons of mass destruction didn't pay that well, after all. Getting back to climate change, the scientific journal Nature has published a report in the March 8th edition that concerns us all. They say, rainy days in the mountains are fewer near polluted cities. As we nearly drown in Vancouver, you may find this hard to believe, but we are a special case, as I'll explain in a minute. The study in Nature followed the problem of severely diminished rainfall in Chinese mountains. I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs from the journal Nature. Mountainous areas are well known to be wet. As air rises up over a hill, it cools and condenses, creating rainy climbs on the windward side. Orographic rain, as it is called, is a crucial component of water supply in dry regions from Israel to California. Meteorologists have long assumed that pollution can suppress or delay this precipitation. Small particles, known as aerosols, are known to alter the size and properties of the water droplets that form in clouds, and can affect the weather in several ways. In some mountain ranges in the western United States, rainfall has decreased by 10-25% over the last 50 years. Tiny particles in air pollution are suspected to be the main cause, but a lack of data has hindered any robust testing of this notion. Well, now they can test it and have done so in China. The article goes on, aerosols affect the climate in many ways, sometimes affecting the weather far from the pollution source. Different types of aerosols have different effects. the fine particles from diesel engines, biomass burning, and fertilizers used in agriculture, as seen in this Chinese study, have a different properties than large particles such as mineral dust or sea salt. Larger aerosols contain more soluble material, which generally attract water. This can help to coalesce raindrops, thus enhancing rainfall. Pollution from Asia that is being blown eastward across the Pacific, for example, seems to be intensifying cloud cover and possibly storm intensity over the ocean. You can picture it. In the mountains near Los Angeles, for example, the city air would rise, cool, and fall as rain. That would feed local streams and agriculture. But the type of particles in smog cuts the ability of water to gather, and rainfall drops significantly. Likely, that is why we are seeing the fires burning around Los Angeles these days, even in the winter. Everything is drying out. But recently, a different study showed that when a wide mix of particles, everything from city smog to dust from the Gobi Desert, blows across the salty Pacific, it leads to much heavier rain and gray days in the north. That's the Pacific Northwest, which has just had the wettest winter in a long, long time, with plenty of high wind storms. Just this week, there was major flooding all around Vancouver, and we're sick of not seeing the sun. I feel like an amphibian lately. The other day, the rain was so heavy I considered taking a mask and snorkel to survive the walk to the bus. We're still struggling to understand how clouds work and how our pollution changes the system. It's one of the last great frontiers of science, really. To find out more, Google Global Dimming, or check out my own interviews with cloud scientist Phil Austin and my EcoShock feature called Big Brown Cloud Global Dimming. The BBC also has a good feature on global dimming available on YouTube. Even while the severe rainfall events hit some areas, there is widespread concern that the tropics will dry out, becoming more desert-like as global warming proceeds during this century. James Lovelock showed that in his map in a speech that you can find in my blog. As you know, Australia is experiencing extreme drought in the south of the country, forcing farmers to give up farms that produced for several generations. And 2 years ago, several Amazon rivers dried up to tiny streams. A person named Joseph Rahm is known as a true expert on climate. He edits a blog called Climate Progress. On February 23rd, he chimed in on the subject of global drying with an article titled Dawn of the Interglacial Superdrought. Rahm says global warming makes droughts longer and stronger and more likely. He cites the National Academy of Sciences, NASA, and other scientists who all agree the U.S. Southwest is headed for a superdrought. The dry conditions, added to warmer temperatures, have already brought a plague of insects, including the bark borers that threaten to wipe out the pines. Rahm says agriculture in several states will be limited and wildfires will become bigger and more prevalent. But the tropics will face the greatest expansion of deserts and dying rainforests, according to most predictions. We're already seeing this in Africa. Author Tim Flannery says drought caused by climate change, that is, our carbon emissions, is responsible for the destabilization of places like Darfur, Ethiopia, and Sudan, with more to come. The predictions of climate models become today's headlines all too soon. Expect to find out more as the next report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is released in April. This report will focus on the impacts of global warming. CNN and others have already run some leaks from the report, and the news is far from good.
There's a new and stark report on global warming out today. It paints a grim picture of life on our planet in the coming decades. The report comes from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That's the group, a big group of scientists, 2,000 the world over, that are tracking this for the United Nations. It is a more detailed follow-up to the big summary report we told you about early last month. Seth Borenstein of the Associated Press got a hold of a leaked draft copy of this follow-up report. And it just offers more detail to what was talked about in February. And it also indicates that things are happening faster than scientists had expected. Among the things in the report that are of interest, by 2050, it's said that about 1 billion people in Asia could face water shortages as a result of climate change. By 2080, that could be 3 billion people. There's 6 billion people on the planet right now. 3 billion people with water shortages as a result of climate change. By 2050, glaciers, in Europe. The small ones will disappear. The large ones will shrink dramatically. These glaciers, as they diminish, it tends to accelerate things because the glaciers, because they reflect heat, tend to diminish the temperature overall. Mid-2050s, smog in U.S. cities, going to get worse. Imagine Los Angeles with even worse smog than it is. Ozone-related deaths from the climate will increase by 4.5% by 2050. That's the world over, not just Los Angeles. By 2080, between 200 and 600 million people, 200 and 600 million people will be hungry because of warming. Diseases like malaria and dengue fever will run rampant. Also by 2080, 100 million people each year could be flooded out by rising seas. It's interesting, though, one thing the report does say, despite those crop failures that we allude to with people being malnourished, at first at least, more crops will be grown as areas outside the tropics see longer growing seasons. Later, other crops will fail in other parts of the world. The report was written and reviewed by 1,000 scientists, still being edited by government officials. The official version is due out next month. We'll keep you posted on all.
It all seems like a dream, or a nightmare that is developing while we lead the lives developed for us in the 1950s by our parents, when oil was cheap and humans didn't know any better. We still drive around, go to the mall, and hope it isn't true. Fortunately, and finally, climate change is getting on everyone's agenda. The atomic scientists added global warming to their clock that ticks near midnight for our species. International Women's Day added climate to their program. A march against war in the Middle East demanded the military money be spent fighting off emissions instead. And community meetings are springing up faster than big government can comprehend them. Now is the time, folks. We act to save the climate or our children suffer and pay. Those are the rules, and they come not from environmentalists, who everyone loves to bash these days, but from the way the planet is designed. The atmosphere can't handle our greenhouse gases except by bringing on a massive change that could wipe out up to 90% of all species. Don't believe it? It has happened before on Earth. We know that. Will we make it happen again?